Let me encourage you to turn your attention this morning, though, to what the Lord has to say. We're going to find ourselves again this morning in John chapter 10. And so you can go ahead and get your Bibles open to that and get ready to read the Word this morning as we dive in. We have been going over the last couple weeks Jesus' I am statements. And so over the past 2 weeks, we've covered two of the seven. Today will be the third of the seventh I am statements that Jesus made. The first one was, I am the bread. And what Jesus was teaching us through that is that it is He who sustains us. Who knows that we can't sustain ourselves? Are you alive this morning? Do you have breath in your lungs this morning? Does Jesus sustain you?
Amen.
Thank you. Let's get lively in here. And then last week, we heard about how Jesus was the door, which showed us that Jesus alone is the one who gives access to salvation. Do you remember the illustration that I shared about the shepherds who laid across the door of the sheepfold, becoming the door themselves, that any danger would have to come through the shepherd to get in to the sheep? And Jesus says, I am that door. It is through Him alone that we gain salvation. We can't earn it. We can't hop the fence. He says if they jump the fence, guess what? They're robbers and thieves. But to come through the door means we are part of the sheep. We are in the sheepfold with Jesus. So He alone gives us access, and nowhere else and no one else is salvation. And today, I want to encourage you that Jesus just isn't the way in. He's not just an obstacle to be seen as we've got to go through Him to get into heaven. But instead, we need to understand that He is the shepherd. He is the shepherd who walks with us, who speaks to us, and sacrifices Himself for us. And our sticky statement today, I like throwing these in occasionally because I think it helps us keep in mind the message. This morning, it's the good shepherd doesn't run from danger. He runs towards you.
Amen.
The good shepherd doesn't run from danger. He runs towards you. And I want to share a story this morning before we get to John chapter 10. This is a true story. It is a story that sets up the I am statement, I think, perfectly today. I had it printed off and then I left it on my desk. This was reported by the Associated Press. It was reported by CNN, Fox News, whoever your trusted news source is. They reported on it because guess what? It wasn't political. So they all reported on it, okay? The first, let me just read the article for you so I don't mess this up. The first one jumped to its death. Then, stunned Turkish shepherds who had left their herd to graze while they had breakfast watched as nearly 1,500 other sheep followed, each leaping off of the same cliff. Turkish media reported, by the way, this was from 2005. You Google it, it comes up, news article, go check me. In the end, when all 1,500 had jumped off, 450 dead animals lay on top of one another in a billowy white pile. The Aksam newspaper, which is the Turkish newspaper, who initially reported on this, said those who jumped later, who were at the back of the herd, they were saved because the pile of dead sheep got high. I know this is graphic, but just hang tight with me. The pile got higher and the fall became more cushioned as the sheep were running over. Now, this event impacted 26 families whose sheep were grazing together in the herd. And then the article goes on to say how much these sheep were worth, and they put the damages in excess of $100,000. And so that is a financial loss, is it not? And what we see here in this news story is this. That without a shepherd, sheep wander. Who knows where I'm going this morning? Okay. And without or worse, they wander or worse. Like jumping off of a cliff. And without Jesus, guess what? We do the same. If we avoid spending time with the Lord, what happens? We start to rebel. We start to reject the work that the Lord has done in our hearts. We want to chase after the fleshly things and what our flesh says is the good thing to do, even though we know it's not the right thing to do. So how do we avoid that? I haven't said this for a long time. If you're not doing our Bible reading plan, I don't know if we have any out there on the table right now, but we did pass out a Bible. Let me know. I've got it downloaded to my computer. I will email it to you. I don't care if you didn't start the first of the year. You can start on June 15th and join us for the rest of the year. And we've got to be in the Word of God. And what we're going to see today is that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I never leave. I am the good shepherd, and I never leave. Guys, the good shepherd runs, doesn't run from danger. He runs toward you. Let's get into our scripture this morning. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. And it says this, I am the good shepherd. Let's just sit there for a minute. Jesus is saying of himself, keep in mind what we talked about last week. When he says, I am the door, he was addressing the Pharisees from John chapter 9, who were inquisitive of the blind man who was healed and who ejected the man out of their presence because they're like, who are you to criticize us? Get out of here. And so Jesus is making a comparison right now between the Pharisees and himself, the hired hands and the Messiah, okay? So Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is hired. He is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. It's about a paycheck, okay? I am the good shepherd. He says it again. I am the good shepherd. I know my own. We're going to come back to that word know. And my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. And just so you know what he means by this, he's talking about the Gentiles. I have sheep that are not of this fold, but I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. And here's something for us to celebrate, because this is going to take place in heaven one day. So there will be one flock, one shepherd.
Amen.
For this reason, the Father loves me. Because I lay my life down my life, that I may take it up again. Talking about death on the cross. And then 3 days later, what do we see? The resurrection. He is forecasting what's going to take place. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Understand that Jesus willingly went to the cross for you, for all of us. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. That's packed full of a lot of goodness there.
Amen.
So here, and I'm kind of repeating some of what I just said, but I got ahead of my notes. Jesus is declaring himself to be the good shepherd that was promised. Using, I am the good shepherd. And if you don't know, we're going to see it here in a minute. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 34, we'll get there. If not, it'll be on the overhead. We're only there for a second. But he was the good shepherd that was prophesied in the Old Testament. He was prophesied about being the shepherd. And so we'll look at that here in a minute. And so this is just a continuation from last week. So don't take last week and say this is separate. They are one and the same. And it is Jesus making a distinction between himself and the Pharisees. Or think of it this way, true spiritual leadership versus false self-serving leaders. In this chapter, as we saw last week, Jesus uses both, I am the door and I am the good shepherd. See, Jesus declares that he is the divine shepherd who has come to rescue his sheep. He's coming to rescue us. And while the Pharisees are hired hands who aren't truly concerned for the sheep, but more about the law. If you've ever spent time reading your Bible, you understand what I'm saying right now. If not, let me encourage you, get a Bible reading plan. Let's start going through it together. So what we need to understand, we need to understand who's been around herds of sheep before. Anybody? Two people? Three? Are they not the dumbest animals? Okay. Now, I don't think Jesus was calling us dumb, okay? But let's understand what the purpose of a shepherd was, especially during the times of Jesus. It's helpful for us to realize that sheep, they are utterly defenseless. Besides maybe ramming your head or ramming you with their, they are poor little creatures that don't have a whole lot going for them. And because of that, they are totally dependent upon the shepherd. See, sheep are always subject to danger. They always have to be underneath a watchful eye of the shepherd, especially as they're spreading out and grazing. For anything from a rushing wall of water coming down the valley, from sudden heavy rainfalls that could sweep them away, robbers who are sneaking in and playing hide and seek trying to grab your sheep away from you, wolves that are hungry that may try to attack the flock. We even hear in the Old Testament, David tells us, what did he kill while he was shepherding his dad's sheep? He killed two things. What were they? A lion and a bear. He killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands, defending his father's flock as a shepherd boy. It could be that driving snow in winter, blinding hot dust and burning sands. This sounds like quite the climate that they're in, doesn't it? Burning sands in summer, long, lonely hours each day. All of these things that could potentially hurt the sheep, the shepherd patiently endures for the welfare of the flock. Jesus patiently endures for your welfare. Let's let that marinate for a moment. He patiently endures. Shepherds were frequently subjected to grave danger, sometimes even giving their life to protect the sheep. Jesus gave his life to protect us. The good shepherd doesn't run from danger. He runs towards you. He does not abandon. He does not leave us. So there's three quick points that I want to get to, want to cover today. The first one is this. The good shepherd lays down his life. The good shepherd lays down his life. Notice in our scripture that Jesus didn't say the good shepherd risked his life. He said the good shepherd lays it down. There is a willingness that comes behind that. In fact, if we look at the Greek word for lays it down, it implies a voluntary offering. Willingly giving it up. Sacrificial and intentionally. So what we see here is that Jesus is saying, I lay down my life willingly, sacrificially, and intentionally. He lays it down voluntarily. And he takes it up again in resurrection power. Jesus didn't just face danger. He took our place. He didn't come in just to make things. He took our place. His death was not symbolic. It was not symbolism. It is not a symbol that we celebrate. But instead, his death was sacrificial. It was substitutionary, which means in our place, not us on the cross. Here's the most important part. It was victorious. He is the victorious shepherd king. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus is not a hireling. He was not hired. He was not paid like the Pharisees. But instead, he is the shepherd king, the king of all shepherds, if you will. And in fact, in Ezekiel, he is the shepherd that is promised. And there's some foreshadowing here. When it talks about my servant David, he is referring to Jesus. It had an application for the time of Ezekiel, but it was also pointing us to when Jesus would show up on the scene. And it says this, "And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd." We're not talking about actual sheep at this point. If you're thinking we're talking about sheep, I've lost you somewhere. It is talking about God's people. So the shepherd Jesus was promised generations before what takes place here in John chapter 10. And so Jesus is taking this time to tell the listeners, all that would hear, that he is the promised Messiah, not a hired religious leader. He's not just some prophet that came out of the woods. He is the promised Messiah. And so for us to follow Jesus means that we have to trust him. To follow Jesus means we have to trust him. We have to trust him because he is the shepherd who laid down his life to conquer our defenselessness. All sheep are defenseless. Who understands that we are defenseless without him? We're all guilty of sin without him. He didn't just lay down his life to conquer defenselessness. He laid it down to conquer sin and death. And not only did he save us from what we were defenseless against, he conquered it forever. Hallelujah. It was a once and for all, not a one time. It was for all generations. Are you with me this morning? Our second point, the good shepherd stays when others run. The good shepherd stays when others run. When, if you look at verses 12 and 13 of John 10, Jesus says, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees," verse 13, "he flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Jesus is telling us, in verses 13, 12 and 13, that the hired hand abandons and runs when danger comes. There is no vested interest in that flock because they care nothing for the sheep. Jesus tells us that instead of running, the good shepherd steps in when danger approaches. He doesn't just protect from a distance, watching everything happen, and he's off making sure he is safe. He is right there facing the threat for you. Are you guys getting this imagery this morning? Like, wolf is coming to eat you. I'm running the other way. Jesus says, you got to go through me first. I want him on my team. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." Well, why do I have? Because the Old Testament tells us that Jesus is the coming shepherd. This is prophecy fulfilled. So if you've ever doubted, know this. The Old Testament is not a section of Scripture that we should avoid, but instead it is full of Jesus pointing to the Messiah. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, get in your Bible reading plan. Jesus gathers his sheep in his arms, even in danger or difficulty. And what does this tell us? This tells us that Jesus is, his care for us is personal and up close. When nobody is there to pick you up, who's there to pick you up? Jesus, right? I wonder this morning how many of us, and I don't need a show of hands, but have you ever experienced abandonment? Have you ever been abandoned for any reason? Have you had someone who should have stayed but left when life got hard? It's painful, isn't it? It's painful to experience that in your life. There's trust that's been left. There's it creates a hole that takes years for some to overcome. Here's what I want to encourage you, and I want you to know this morning. Jesus is not like them. Jesus does not abandon his sheep. He does not leave us to fight by ourselves. When life falls apart, what Jesus does is he moves closer to you, not further away from you. Has anyone personally experienced that in their life? So what this means is that being in a relationship with Jesus means trusting him, especially when danger comes, because that is when he is the most present. He walks with us through the things that we face. Our third point today, the good shepherd knows his sheep, pointing back to the word know. In verses 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The word know here should bring you great peace and comfort. Why? It's just a word. The word know in the Greek here, it speaks of a deep relationship in the same way we see in the next sentence, the same way that Jesus knows the Father and the Father knows Jesus. I think it's safe to say that they know each other. Right? So what this means, what should encourage us, each of us, I need all eyes up here for this. You are not just some sheep in the crowd. You are not just another number in the sheepfold. Jesus personally knows you. He knows you by name. He cares and he loves you. Does anybody else want to say that with Ken this morning? Come on. We are not just another sheep. We are known personally. He knows you. And he calls you by name. Psalms 23:1 says, the Lord, what's the next word? Is. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, how does this play into all of this? I'll get there in a second. Notice what it says. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Not, the Lord is a shepherd. Or the Lord are not a shepherd. It doesn't just say the Lord, I don't know, my notes say something, I think I just met, but that's all right. Notice it says the Lord is my shepherd, not just a shepherd. This relationship, going back to the word know, it's two-way. He knows us. Do we know him? Do you know the shepherd this morning? Not only do you know the shepherd, is he your shepherd this morning? Isn't it comforting to know that God sees you, that you're not hidden, Listen, all lies up here again, because I feel like we just got to deal with this. You are not insignificant in the kingdom of God. Who feels insignificant on a daily basis? I'll raise my hand high to that. You are not insignificant. You are not forgotten. Jesus sees you and he knows your struggles. He knows your story. He knows your past. He still loves you. He tells of a parable of the shepherd who leaves, what, the 99 to go after the one. I'm so thankful he came for me. I wasn't worthy. I would argue that I'm still not worthy, but he says you are. Doesn't matter what your past is. He comes looking for you. I want you to think back to the name that we've talked about the last couple of weeks, the name that might be on your heart that the Lord said, this is who I want to see. The Lord is interested in chasing after them. In fact, I would submit he's already started a pursuit. Who knows that you did not find God? Jesus found you and you finally relinquished your heart, your desire, and your control to him. He found me when I needed it most. He didn't find me too early because he knew that I was going to try to do things of my own accord still. He didn't find me too late because that would have been death. He found me right at the moment that I knew I couldn't do it anymore without him. Does your story resonate? Did you know that that's the gospel? That's what you tell. That's what you tell people. And listen, it is Father's Day. So fathers, I don't think we did this. In fact, I know we didn't. We're just going to pause here for one moment. If you're a dad in here, would you please just stand to your feet this morning? Come on, don't be embarrassed. We're not going to throw tomatoes at you. First, I'm going to give you a charge. Men, lead your families. We heard it this weekend, and I don't remember the stat. Tom or Doug, if you remember the stat, you can say it. But families whose dad is the one that brings them to church, not the mother, but the dad, the whole family is saved. It's a much higher percentage than it is for the moms that bring the kids to church. If you've done that faithfully, God bless you. We need more dads like the men that are standing up represented here this morning. Can we give our fathers this morning a round of applause and appreciation? Fathers, at the end of service, there are four different kinds of beef jerky that's out in the lobby. Four different flavors. I tried to get every flavor possible. Alicia's going to have it on lockdown so all the jerky doesn't disappear. But please grab a bag of jerky on your way out this morning. That is just our gift to you to say thank you for being awesome, amazing, God-fearing, God-loving dads. Amen? Fathers, you may grab a seat. So as we celebrate Father's Day and we take time to honor our dads, Jesus the Shepherd, he offers a powerful model for godly dads to follow. Who knows that this just sets up perfectly. This is the model that we have as fathers today. Or grandpas. And listen, you just might be a mentor to somebody younger who needs a father-like figure in their life. Who knows that that's necessary? I have a dad. He's still alive. But he wasn't a spiritual father to me ever. I had to surround myself with men that I wanted to be like. I had to find a spiritual dad. Listen, there might be somebody here today that needs you as their spiritual dad. Don't be stingy with it. Thank God Jesus wasn't stingy with it. Be a spiritual dad to somebody if you need to. Here's the model that we have as fathers that Jesus displays here when he says, I am the good shepherd. The first thing is to lay down your life. Now, initially we think physically, right? To lay down your life means a physical sacrifice. But do you want to know what the true sense of it is? Sacrificial love. Fathers, how many times do your kids, family, whatever, get what they need from you even when you don't think you have it to give? It is a sacrificial love. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not just a do it once and they'll be good. It's every day. I can say this from my perspective and my perspective only. Being a dad's the hardest thing I've ever done, but it's the most rewarding thing that I've ever done. All at the same time. Sometimes I want to kick you boys in the butt, and sometimes I just want to smother you in love. I want their floor to be my ceiling. And I will sacrifice what I have to make sure that's the case. And I think I speak for every dad in here. I speak for every grandpa in here. I hope I do. I can't speak for you. That's why I said I speak for myself. Here's the second thing that Jesus models for us. To know your children. Who knows that I'm not just saying, I know that this is Caleb. I know that this is Caden. How do we know our children? The same way, how do you know your spouse? The same way, how do you know God? You got to spend time with them to know them, right? So how do we know our kids? By spending time with them. To be present. That doesn't mean, hey, boys, I'm in your vicinity. We're spending time together. I know you. It means I am available emotionally. I'm willing to have the conversations that need to be had. It means that we are there to give of ourselves to them, to be there spiritually, to engage them spiritually. This is how we know our children. Our third is to lead with love. To lead with love. When you think of, if you've ever been on Facebook Reels or TikTok and you've come across, I'm on Irish Shepherd TikTok right now. So I get to see the dogs that work the sheep. Has anyone ever seen those videos? Those are the hardest working animals I've ever seen. They are pinpointed. They are very intentional in every purpose. They move, they run, they dodge. Sometimes the dog has to bite. Sometimes it just runs across the back of all the sheep so it can get in front of them faster to turn them back around. To lead with love means you lead with gentle authority that reflects God's heart. Amen. It is your job, fathers, to direct your children. Can I be somewhat graphic, maybe? How many of you dads want your kids to spend eternity in hell? Are you leading them? Are you setting the example in your home? And I know that everyone in here is doing, but listen, if that pierces you, there's days that I feel like I don't do enough. Now, Father's Day is normally around a whole lot of giving dads all the, you got to do this, you got to not be a deadbeat. Listen, I'm not calling anybody a deadbeat in here. Here's what I'm saying. This is the best part. So dads especially, everybody needs to listen to this, but dads, you don't have to be flawless. You don't have to do everything with perfection because our shepherd is flawless. He's strong where I am what? Weak. We must do our best. Fathers, men, you must do your best to follow the shepherd and lead from the strength of Jesus. He is strong where we are weak. Here's what we have to do. Be present and be faithful. So, as we get ready to wrap this up, Stacy, you can make your way up here. Here's what I hope we heard today. This is what I hope we learned today. I hope, first and foremost, we are starting to see Jesus more clearly. As we go through these I am statements, I want us to gain clarity and to understand who he is through his I am statements. Jesus said these things about himself. He said, I am the bread, I am the door, I am the good shepherd. Those are the only three I'm going to share because the rest come in later sermons. But in doing so, in gaining clarity who Christ is, enables us to follow him more fully. Because we know who he is. Church, lift your heads this morning. Lift your heads in understanding and encouragement and knowing what the Lord has done for you. Because, hang on. The good shepherd doesn't run from danger. He runs towards you. Here at Engage Church, our mission is what? I put the wrong graphic there, but good job, everybody who said it. It is engaging our community for Jesus. What does this mean? Listen, this can mean a bunch of things, and I'm going through some processes to make sure we're bringing about our mission into fruition and everything that we're putting our hands to. You're going to see more activity in that as it comes. But here's what it means in this moment. What it means is that, one, we want to follow Jesus, not just attend church. We can close this building down. Who knows that we don't need the building to have church? Right? It is just a convenient place for us to meet. And I hope that we can all agree with this one. Number two is we want to be a united flock under one shepherd. Crystal, you said it great this morning when you were talking about being out in Rhode Island. All the different foods. There's diversity. Who knows there's going to be diversity in the kingdom of God? It's interesting. I've seen a debate going on my minister pages about what's happening right now between Palestine, Iran, Israel. First and foremost, Israel is God's chosen people. But who knows that there are believers in Palestine? Who knows that there's believers in Iran? There is a missionary to Iran that posted this morning and said, my heart breaks for those that I know that are in Tehran this morning. Those that they personally led to Jesus. Conflict's going to happen. We all know that. It's unavoidable. But let's not take a position that is so harsh that we forget, what is Jesus' heart? That none should perish, but all would come to repentance. He cares about the Muslim as much as he cares about us. You have no special privilege above them over there. There is diversity in his kingdom. So let us be, when we say engaging our community for Jesus, I hope and I pray that it means that we want to be one united flock under one shepherd. We don't want to be scattered sheep. We have this going on. We're over here. We're never really with Jesus because he's not the price. Listen, the only and the best place for you to be is in his presence. We want to be a place where people are known, where people are led, where people are loved, just as Jesus, our shepherd, loves and leads us. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would just take time to just hear me this morning. What we just saw in our scripture today, we know that Jesus is the good shepherd. We know that he laid his life down to save us from sin. He rose again so we could have eternal life. We could be reconciled to the Father. That means the gap that was there because of sin, it's now filled with Jesus, so we have access to the Father God. Listen, this morning, if you're lost, he's calling you home. Let me say that again. If you're lost, the shepherd is calling your name. You are not insignificant. You do not have to be right, meaning I don't have to have this worked out or this figured out before I come to him. No, he says, come to me and I will give you rest. Don't wait to come to him this morning. If you're one of the sheep that's often wandering and you're not, listen, he's ready to lead you. He's ready to receive you. He's ready to lead you. He knows your name. He's waiting for your response this morning. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what does it say? You will be saved. So if that's your desire this morning, if that speaks to you, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, there is nobody looking around, this is between you and Jesus. If that is your desire today, that you want to step through that door and let him become your good shepherd, would you just raise your hand this morning? Is there anybody? Praise the Lord. As we close today, as every Sunday, the altar, we're going to open it. It is available for us to spend time at, and I encourage it, and here's why. 450 sheep died because one walked off a cliff. From our news story, 450 died because one walked off the cliff, and the rest followed. That's what happens when you have a life without the shepherd. Some of you this morning are following the wrong voice. Some of you think you're following the shepherd, but you're not. Some of you are dangerously close to the edge of the cliff. And some of you, quite frankly, you've already jumped off the cliff. It is by God's mercy alone that you're still breathing and with us today. Hear this. The good shepherd calls to you. He doesn't stand back and watch. He runs towards you this morning. I need you to have this imagery of Jesus just running towards you, his arms open wide, ready to receive you right now where you're at. It's pretty simple, church. I want to pray with you. I want to pray over you. But this is your moment. Don't let Father's Day rush you out of here. Don't let the beef jerkies entice you to run out of here. The best place for you to be is in the presence of the Lord. Don't follow the crowd. Don't stand near the edge. Don't stay near the edge. This morning, come to the shepherd. Come to the shepherd. Come to the altar. Spend time in his presence. Not later, not next week, now. Now in this moment, will you come to the good shepherd? As the worship team plays for just a couple of minutes, can we just take time to reflect and say, I need to come to the shepherd this morning.